spoke about the analogy from the body to how this neshama, how the soul gives life to the body on several different levels, and Hashem gives life to the world also on these several levels. We talked about, just to remind, we talked about the idea that the neshama, the soul, has essential power. That means the neshama is a ball of energy, a well, a fountain of energy. It has its own energies. The body, of course, is the vehicle, is what the soul, the neshama, gives life to. And the Alter Rebbe brought up the concept and explained to us the concept of how the neshama itself has within itself the powers that are later going to be expressed through the vehicle of the body. So the fact that the body can see, that power is in the neshama. The fact the body can hear, that power is in the neshama. The fact the body can feel things, that power is in the neshama. So the soul powers that are in the neshama itself, that are then expressed through the various parts of the body that are capable of bringing those powers out into a reality. So the power to see has to be expressed through the eye. The power that hears has to be expressed through the ears. So a specific part of the energy of the neshama then goes to each part of the body, gives it its particular type of life and function and purpose. And the same is true, the Alter Rebbe said, of Hashem's energy. Hashem's energy is given in a general way, but also in a specific way to each level that's in the world. Why is it important to understand this? Because through understanding this concept, we understand what does it mean when we say we cause the Shekhinah to dwell in the world? We cause Hashem's Shekhinah to dwell. The question that arises once you say that by doing a mitzvah, you cause Hashem's presence to be dwelling in the world, because, okay. So this answers the question, if Hashem's presence is everywhere in the world, and Hashem's presence is everywhere in the world, and the Torah tells us this. It says, Meloch ha'aretz kavodah, Hashem's presence is everywhere. And we know Hashem's presence is everywhere, because if not, the world would not be existing. Nothing exists without Hashem powering it and giving it life in that moment. If that's the case, what does it mean to bring the Shekhinah into the world? Hashem's there already. It's like saying somebody's already at your party, and all of a sudden you're going to bring the person into your party. Well, yeah, the answer is you can make a big fuss about that individual. You can, invite them up to the podium. You can invite them up to the dais or whatever it is. So that's what we're explaining now. What does it mean to bring the Shekhinah into the world? What does it mean to have Hashem's presence yet more revealed? I should mention also that we have spoken about in the past the two levels of energy, where there's a level of sovev energy and a level of mimale energy. And we explained this previously in the past chapters, that Hashem powers the world on two levels. There is a level of energy that is infinite, and that level of energy hovers about the world. It doesn't power the world. It creates, but it doesn't give life. It gives existence, but it doesn't give life. And the analogy to that would be if you have the formation, the creation of the making of some kind of a machine. So obviously, there's a lot of energy that goes into making the machine. But after that, the machine still needs a battery to work. So, for example, they talk about electric cars versus non-electric cars, and they talk about how much energy is required to produce the battery of the electric cars, and they're saying, it's a toss-up whether or not you're actually saving energy. We're not getting into the conversation. I'm just giving you an example. There's energy that are required to produce something, just to make that thing happen. Energy to produce batteries for electric cars or the bodies of the electric cars. And then you have, once you have a car, now you have to have power to make that car actually work and move. Hashem also gives energy to the world on two levels. And the language of the Zohar, one is called Sovev energy. It's all Hashem's energy, but it's just poetry to understand, for us, a little bit to understand what's going on. So one is called the Sovev energy, the energy that is surrounding. The word Sovev means to surround. And it's an analogy, it's a poetic way, metaphorical way of saying the energy doesn't enter into the thing that's created to give it power to work. It simply makes that thing happen. And the other is called Memale energy, which is the energy that actually powers the thing and makes it happen and gives it its specific function. And the Sovev and Memale, the concept of Sovev and Memale, the two different energies, explain another question, which is a thought question. And the question is, if Hashem's energy is infinite, and of course we believe it is, God is infinite. Hashem doesn't have any beginning, end. It's infinite power. Then how does infinite become finite? What does that? How does that work? How does infinity become finite? What does it mean it becomes finite? The world is finite. There's a limited number of, a limited amount of quantity of energy in the world, limited amount of worlds, limited lifespan to the world. Humans, of course, have a limited lifespan, but even stars and rocks and everything else dies, decays. That's how they date things, by the decay, you know, of the isotope or of the whatever it is. Everything is limited in the world. The world is headed for extinction, for decaying. Science says billions of years. Judaism says 6,000 years. But it's limited. The world is limited. So how could it be that unlimited energy produces a limited world? How does that shift happen? And the Zohar explains that there is, in fact, the different types of energy that Hashem puts a break, a filter, any word you want to use, on the infinite energy and makes it finite. And Hashem can do that because since Hashem is truly infinite, Hashem's energy has the qualities of being infinite and being finite at the same time. Because if it wouldn't, then it would be lacking something. This is actually a statement, one of the great Kabbalists who wrote a book called Avodas HaKodesh, that Hashem's energy is both infinite and finite at the same time. And just, if we can't understand that, that's our problem. But there is nothing lacking in Hashem's energy. And if it would be missing one quality, then it wouldn't be complete. At any rate, there is this concept of dual energy, types of energy that Hashem gives life. One creates the world, the other gives energy and life to make the world work and live and breathe. And when we do a mitzvah, what is generally explained is that we cause a little more of the infinite energy that is the creative energy that is not powering the world. What's powering the world is the finite, the limited energy. We cause the infinite energy to come into the world, and that's the power of doing a mitzvah, that we can bring yet more infinity into a finite, into a limited space. So this is the idea of, but this is different than what we're talking about now, the Shekhinah, Hashem's presence revealed. Hashem's presence revealed means, as we're explaining now, that the energy from the source is powering in a clear way the part of the body, the part of the world that needs to be powered. So at any rate, this is what we're talking about here: the power of doing a mitzvah, the power of our actions, that our actions make a difference. And the Zohar, the Rebbe, Alter Rebbe was saying that if a Jew wants to have, and if this, we started this conversation a couple of chapters back by asking, why is it necessary to do actual physical mitzvahs? Since the neshama, the soul, is spiritual, so if you want to do spiritual, you want to create spirituality, why does Hashem have to put the neshama, the soul, into a body in the physical world and tell the soul this to now power the physical body, and the body and soul combination should go to work and should earn money and should give tzedakah. And then we say, oh, you did a big mitzvah, you gave tzedakah. You bring spiritual energy into the world by giving tzedakah because you went to work in a physical way. And what's wrong with the neshama just having, thinking about words of Torah? The soul studies Torah. We talk about the neshama studying Torah in Gan Eden, in paradise, and the neshama studies Torah with the malachim, with the angels. What's wrong with the neshama just studying Torah? Torah is spirituality. You want to bring spiritual energy into the world? Study Torah as a soul. Why must you come into this physical space and work with physicality, with material world, in order to create the ultimate of energy, which we say the neshama cannot create, being upstairs in the spiritual worlds? That's what the Alter Rebbe, that's what the Zohar asked. And the Zohar basically makes a statement that without the consumption of the energy, without something being used up, you cannot create a light, a fire, which is, again, using the physical world as an analogy. If you want to have a flame, a fire, you must combust some material. There must be a transfer, a state, a transfer of state from a liquid fuel, and it becomes a gas. From a solid log of wood, it becomes also, the energy is released. There must be consumption. There must be a transfer of state. The neshama is already spiritual. For the neshama to bring, for the soul to bring that level of energy, there's no transfer of state. The ultimate energy that's that is brought into the world is by is whatever requires, another way to look at it, I guess, another way to say this is, whatever requires yet more effort to produce the energy that is thereby produced is yet more powerful. And we see this in the physical world. The atom bomb requires a huge amount of energy to split the atom. What's released is incredible, much more, incredible amount of energy. The more energy that is put into the process, the more work that's put into the process, the more energy is released. That's how the physical world is created. And the Zohar teaches us that Hashem created the physical world and the spiritual world mirrors of each other. Understanding one makes you understand the other. So when a person has tzaris in their life, when a person works hard at their work and then gives that money to tzedakah, it's difficult to give. You're creating more energy than a person who didn't put that much effort in, got the same quantity of money, gave it to tzedakah, and as a mitzvah too, also as a mitzvah, absolutely, no question about it. But wonderful, beautiful mitzvah. But the more energy that's put in to the process, the more Shekhinah energy is released, the more spirituality is released, because that's just the way the world works. I gave you the analogy of the atom, splitting the atom and the energy that has to go into that. Lighting a piece of paper on fire, which ignites very easily, does not produce the same flame with the same intensity and the ability to cook as lighting a log. It's just the way it works. So therefore, this is a comfort for us, and it's also a boost, a morale boost for us. Hashem gives us opportunities to produce yet more energy. And we say, thank you, Hashem, for allowing us to do that. And now that we've done it, please make it easy for us. Now we want to coast a little bit.